Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our Community Connection. And today, it is our honor to have Principal Chief of Cherokee Nation, Chuck Hoskin Jr. with us. Chief, how are you today?
Tom, I'm doing well. Good to be with you again.
Well, it's been a busy month of June now, hasn't it?
I tell you what, this whole month has been busy. It's getting hot. It's starting to feel like Oklahoma summer, and we're loving it.
Now, I understand a lot of things been going on. First of all, news today, or news that we're getting, is that the Housing Authority of Cherokee Nation is providing emergency rental assistance programs to help those who are having a little trouble in response to COVID-19. We've talked a little bit about this, but can you break it down for us?
Sure. So we've had a rental assistance program for years and years, and it helps those who are struggling kind of bridge the gap. For some, it's a longer term period of assistance. The news, though, today is that the assistance is going to be available to Cherokees across the state of Oklahoma. Now, historically, we have limited that to our jurisdictional boundaries, but because of the funding that we have, for a period of time, there'll be some low-income rental assistance available to Cherokees living anywhere in the state of Oklahoma. So that's historic for us. It's good news. It might not be something that's the norm for years and years and years to come, but while we have the funds, we certainly want to be of assistance. And people can go to the Housing Authority's website, which is HACN.org. That's Housing Authority, the Cherokee Nation.org, and find out more information on that.
Adoption issues when it comes to the courts and what have you. I understand that we've had a little something take place with Cherokee Nation and a memorandum of agreement fostering adoption cases. What's that all about?
Well, the memorandum of agreement on foster and adoption cases actually has been in place for some time, but the important thing for people to understand is after McGirt, there was an issue with jurisdiction over Indian child welfare cases within what became, under Oklahoma and federal recognition, a broad reservation. And so early on, we signed an agreement with the state sharing some jurisdiction to make sure that, you know, kids are not left behind when it comes to their protection. And our Indian Child Welfare Department does deal with foster and adoption cases as well. And oftentimes, the sad news is that may be a situation where a child is in a deprived state, maybe even subject of abuse. And, of course, family reunification is the goal, but when necessary, foster and adoption can help really save that child. And to work out agreements like that, including this one with the state that we've worked out some time ago, is important. And other of the five tribes are engaging in similar discussions with the state, and some have already signed those agreements.
Speaking of McGirt, I know you've been working with one of the congressmen on this, and I think maybe one of the other tribes is perhaps interested in this, too, about getting some kind of a deal set up whereby these cases that are being shuffled around between federal and tribal and local courts, that maybe we could find some kind of common ground in this. And I understand that the 1,000th case has been filed after the McGirt ruling here just as of late.
Yeah, that's really both of those things, the number of cases and the effort in the Congress to really give us some additional tools on McGirt are really the big news of the day on that historic McGirt case. You'll recall, Tom, that McGirt was handed down almost a year ago. It recognized the promise made by the United States in terms of the reservation boundaries as a promise that should be kept. That promise has been recognized as applying to all five tribes, including the Cherokee Nation. What it means is a huge obligation for criminal justice is falling on the shoulders of the tribes, including the Cherokee Nation, Creek Nation, Choctaw Nation, Seminole Nation, and Chickasaw Nation. The tribes have different views on sort of what the best next step is. First and foremost, Cherokee Nation is putting resources into our court system, our marshal service, our attorney general's office, that we take on the huge influx of case. So just a few days ago, the 1,000th criminal case was filed in Cherokee Nation courts. Now think about this, Tom. For the past decade before McGirt applied it to Cherokee Nation, we had less than 800 cases in an entire 10-year period. Now we've had 1,000 just in a few months. That helps sort of illustrate what sort of challenge that we have. We're going to take on that obligation. We're going to meet that obligation. We're not only going to build the biggest criminal justice system in the state of Oklahoma, other than the state of Oklahoma's, we're going to build the best criminal justice system. It's going to be fair. It's going to be effective. It's going to take a lot of money, and we're going to put it into that. But one of the things we want is for Congress to unshackle the Cherokee Nation when it comes to negotiating with the state over compacts related to criminal justice. I can give you an example. Right now, a non-Indian crime happening, let's say, downtown Bartlesville, which is Cherokee Nation Reservation. Mm-hmm. Non-Indian crime against an Indian would be prosecuted not by the state, not even by the tribe in almost every case, but by the United States government through the Justice Department. Now, historically, the Justice Department, when it comes to prosecuting on Indian country, the resources aren't there. There's not as many cases prosecuted. I don't want to see justice not served. And so what I would like to do is have Congress allow me, if the Cherokee Nation chooses to negotiate with the state, so perhaps the state retains that jurisdiction for the limited duration of a compact. I can't even do that right now, Tom. All I'm asking Congressman Cole to do, and he's agreed, is to get a bill through that would give me that option. The Chickasaw Nation, by the way, Governor Bill Anitubby, really longest tenured statesman of all the chiefs in the state of Oklahoma, he agrees, the governor of the Chickasaw Nation. So he and I are working on that. Not every tribe thinks that's the right approach, and I certainly respect that, but for Cherokee Nation, I believe it is the right approach.
Well, good luck in these negotiations, and here's hoping that you can get that worked out to everyone's satisfaction. You had the opportunity to present royalty on a different subject here. You crowned a few young ladies.
Well, I tell you what, we crowned a couple of young ladies 2 years ago. I'm trying to think, has it been that long?
Yeah.
2019, the Miss Cherokee and Junior Miss were crowned. So the news, actually, Tom, is that I will crown two young ladies at our Cherokee National Holiday this year, which last year was almost all virtual. This year, it will be a mix of virtual and in-person, but the Miss Cherokee and Junior Miss Cherokee, which are really leadership competitions, mm-hmm. they'll be in person with a limited audience. And it's a great opportunity, Tom, because the young ladies who compete in this, whether they win or not, they're all winners because they show such great leadership through the program. Those that are selected go on to spend usually a year being Cherokee leaders, going out to communities, talking to young people. They usually have a platform that centers around how they can make communities better and provide more for people to live better lives. I'm always impressed by the thought that goes into the different platforms of these Cherokee royalty. And so it's been in the news. And in fact, the picture in the press release shows me crowning Miss Cherokee Mika Roy. That was 2 years ago. We didn't have a competition last year. So we're all eager to have that again. And we all look forward to it.
You know, we always talk about health, and we did talk a little bit about COVID when we talked about, you know, for assistance and things like that. But it's more than just the body. It's also the spirit, and it's also people's mental health that have taken a toll with this pandemic. And mental health also takes a toll regardless of a pandemic or not. Everyday life can be a struggle for some. And I understand that you might have an idea that you want to put forward here to perhaps address folks having a little trouble from time to time.
That's right. So COVID, I think, revealed, number one, some pre-existing struggles that people have with mental health, mental well-being, even physical well-being across our reservation. This affects everybody, not just Cherokees, but our primary focus is how can we serve our citizens. But COVID, you know, meant that people experience a great deal of isolation, a great deal of anxiety as we're trying to wrap our minds around this public health crisis, which turned out to be the worst in living memory. That takes its toll on people. And so both the pre-existing struggles and stressors that we all deal with, overlaying that with this pandemic, I think has revealed some real problems and some gaps in our ability to care for our people in terms of mental health. So we're going to do a couple things, Tom. First of all, a simple idea that's going to have tremendous impact. This actually came from a staff member in my office, but We're going to offer 2 hours of mental wellness leave per month to our employees across our government workforce. That means they don't have to use their sick leave or their annual leave, but they can just get away from the office for some 2 hour period in the month. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs a moment to kind of get away, refocus, whether it's spiritually, whether it's mentally, or in some cases physically, because we're going to couple this with more walking trails, for example, at our workforces. And we have 150 work sites across the reservation. We employ, the government side alone, over 4,000 people. And so this is going to affect a lot of people, but I think it'll have a big impact. And I think it will also signal to our workforce that we take this serious. Now, that will help kick off what I think is going to be a larger effort, Tom, to address mental well-being. We need drug treatment centers in the Cherokee Nation. We need more mental health programs and treatments in the Cherokee Nation. We've got to do more. We've got an opportunity to do more, and I'm committed, as our other leaders in the Cherokee Nation, to do more. And I think in the coming months and years, we'll have some exciting announcements, and I'll share them here with you on new facilities that we're building for that.
Wow. Cool. Now, Judd Strom is a representative, state representative here in the area, and he's been talking with a few counties, and also he mentioned tribes, and I don't know if Cherokee was involved with this. I'm imagining there were, but he was trying to get a regional facility that's not necessarily a correctional facility, but a rehab facility for young people who may have had a little trouble. And maybe with a little guidance, instead of turning them into better criminals, they can turn them into much better citizens by the time their time is up. Did you have any consultations or any of your representatives speak with Representative Strom about such a facility on a drawing board?
Well, first of all, the representative showed great leadership on this issue to think about it in those terms. We talked to some of the folks he had talked to, some of the regional economic development people that he had talked to, and we are going to follow up with him. But I think that it's a very interesting idea. I mean, we've got an opportunity here to turn not a crisis, but a challenge in terms of both mental health and a challenge in terms of criminal justice as we navigate McGirt. We have an opportunity to turn that challenge into a great opportunity if we can seize it. And to hear a state leader talk about something that's a potential partnership that could address mental health, I think it shows that the representative is looking at this problem that we have, that we all have stake in a very holistic way. In other words, it's not enough to lock up somebody who's broken the law. It's not enough just to send them back out into society and hope for the best. We really have to get down to the root causes, and we really have to make sure we treat the whole person while they are both receiving, you know, the consequences of their action, but also some rehabilitation. So I appreciate that. It's in line really with Cherokee thinking. And I think that's a way we can find common ground. You know, Tom, I've been in this business for a while, not just as chief, but in other positions. And anytime we have a state leader who wants to talk constructively about these issues, I'm all ears. And at times in this state, we don't have that. But certainly the representative is a good example of somebody that wants to work together on solutions.
Well, Cherokee Nation goes to the movies. Looks like we've got something coming out of the film office here, recognizing some indigenous filmmakers.
Well, I'll tell you what, our film office is really not just leading Indian country on getting young people in particular interested in the film industry, but also helping lead this state to grow the TV and film industry in the state. And Tom, that is a job creator. It generates economic activity. So I'm very proud of the film office. But yeah, they do take time to recognize indigenous filmmakers. They've been involved in sponsoring different competitions. We just had a Cherokee that won a prize. His name's Jeremy Charles, down at a Oklahoma City film festival. You know, as you look across Cherokee Nation, you see all these talented people, particularly a number of young people who are up and comers, and you just get excited about what is to come. And so the film office helps celebrate their accomplishments, but I think more important than that, they're creating opportunities for these young people. And I think again, in the years to come, we'll have more to talk about in terms of those opportunities to get people in the creative arts and create some good jobs doing it.
Great. Now, we just had an election here recently. How'd that go for Cherokee Nation? You had a few council seats open.
Yeah, we did. We had midterm elections. This is the time of year when yours truly is not on the ballot, and that's okay. I don't need to be on the ballot every time, and some years I'm glad I'm not. But we had a number of races, and I got to tell you, some wonderful incumbents retained their seats. They've done a wonderful job. We've got some runoff races, but I'll tell you what, not to get too political on this show, Tom, but themes about hope and working together won out. And I'll tell you what, in any political system, when themes like working together and hope for the future, positivity, when that can win out, boy, you know you're moving in the right direction. So I felt good about the elections we had on June the 5th. End of July, we'll have runoffs, and those runoffs, I think, will produce some good outcomes, and we can continue doing the important work of the Cherokee people. We've got a lot of opportunities ahead of us. We just got to work together and seize those opportunities.
Chief, any last words before we wrap up our conversation today?
Well, I'll tell you what, we continue to see a great response to the $2,000 COVID assistance payments. Tom, as we speak, we're closing in on 200,000 Cherokees out of 393,000 Cherokees have applied for that assistance. So people are responding. People can go to cherokee.org and they can find out more about that program. But so far, about 200,000 citizens have applied. So, Tom, good times in the Cherokee Nation. I'll look forward to visiting with you next time.
All right. Thank you very much, Chief Hoskin. Appreciate it as always.